Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm Don Norman, alongside me Steve Harmison, looking back at, plenty of action from day three at Gaul. Surprisingly, considering the weather forecast and the timidity of the Sri Lankan batting, we do have nearly 90 overs of action to reflect on. So thanks for listening. This is the Following On podcast. So, if you're listening, you know by now, I would have thought, that Joe Root top scored. He continued pretty much where he left off, 168 unbeaten overnight. Well, he added 60 to that, ending up 228. Last man out, holding out. What a knock that was. Josh Butler accompanied him on his way. He scored 30 before two wickets in two balls. Just gave Mickey Arthur something to celebrate. Dominic Best was run out for a duck. Jack Leach burnt a review. He was out for four, Wood for two. And as I say, Joe Root last man out. But when Sri Lanka came into bat, 286 runs behind, a much better effort second time around. Century partnership before Pereira was dismissed. Another terrible delivery, actually. I don't know. Maybe that's something that England need to think about. How many bad balls have got wickets? He cut a long hop to deep point for 62. Mendes averted being called Olympics for the rest of his career. Came in with four ducks, but didn't walk off with four ducks. He scored 15, but Tirumane dropped at the gully, in the gully on 51. He's still there, 76, with a night watchman alongside him. Plenty to discuss with Steve Harmison. So let's get on with it with Story of the Day.
Story of the Day.
So, Harmy, how are you doing? Hope all's well. You're back up north. I'm still down south. I had an outside hope that I might have 2 days off. Now I'm praying I have one day off, my wedding anniversary on Monday. So come on, England. Take those eight wickets very quickly on day four. And whatever run chase you may or may not get, whittle through it. Now, I'll be feeling a lot happier. This is my story of the day. I'm going to start off. I'm not going to talk about Joe Root, but I'll be feeling a lot happier today. If England's spinners had a little bit more control in that second innings. Seemed to me some turn from day one, but the lack of maidens, the lack of scoreboard pressure, when you consider where England are off to after this Sri Lanka series, live and exclusively on TalkSport 2, is that some concern for England, or will the overs under the belt in this test match serve them well when they face tougher examinations in February and March?
Last night I said, would England potentially declare, look to do what they would do in a warm-up game and try and get another hit in another innings? It wasn't being sort of arrogant or anything like that, thinking, you know, this game's over. But England, you know, they've got the bigger game, the bigger series on the horizon. And I actually don't think this is a bad thing for England. I actually think it's a very good day for England. And it sounds stupid, really, because England have had, with the ball, an inconsistent day. But as a spinner, and you know, you have to have a rhythm to your bowling. You have to have a little bit of continuity to your bowling. You have to have overs under your belt. You know, trying things, you know, working on lengths. What lengths are good lengths on this sort of pitch? What lengths is good against a right-handed batsman with it? Yeah, short reach or a long reach, a big tall batsman, long reach, left and right hand. All this thing comes with bowling. And I actually think this will stand England in good stead. I think it's important now that these two spinners are stuck with, and if they're going to play another spinner or they're contemplating giving somebody else a game, then they might play a third spinner in the second test match in goal and give them, you know, give them another good ball. Because I think looking forward, you know, it's so important that by the time they get to Chennai, Bess and Leach, they're at their absolute best. Because if they're not, and they bowl like they have done in this test match, and I'm seeing in this test match, they bowl a team out for 135 in a test match. But like you mentioned before, Rank Longhop got rid of Pereira. You know, Don Best got three or four wickets for Rank Longhops against India's top order batsmen and bowling at Kohli and Rahane and Rohit Sharma and all these lot. They get smashed. So I think it's a good thing for England that they've stuck it out in the field. It's a good thing that they've spent 90 overs in the field. Joe Root's had a bit of a bowl. Arguably our most consistent spinner, to be fair. 6 overs for 10. He's probably our, you know, best line and length spin bowler. So I think it's not a bad thing that England do spend another day in the field, potentially another day in the field tomorrow. Half a day in the field tomorrow. And if they have to go and try and knock off 70 or 80, well, the top order batsmen and Crawley and Sibley get a hit, and fingers crossed England win, because Joe Root, magnificent. 200, what a start for 2021. Just listen to his interview, talking to Simon Dool. It was a brilliant interview, very open and honest, saying he was, you know, a lean spell was, you know, was what he had in 2020. He worked on a few things, and that's the beauty about it. He's a 7th ranked batsman in English cricket now from run scoring point of view. Jimmy Anderson talks about working on things. He's got 600 wickets. So does Stuart Broad, and that's the mentality that these great players have got. They're trying and striving to get better. And fingers crossed that 200 is going to stand Joe Root in good stead with his captaincy for 17 or 18 Test matches. That's going to come in 2021.
Yeah, he will get stiffer examinations for sure. But let's talk about Joe Root, because, I mean, if you just take the scorecard across both innings, you know, there's his whopping 228. There's a 350s. One of them unbeaten. Tiramani might join him, actually. That'd be a huge innings for him, by the way, if he can go past 100. He shouldn't be in this test match. He's only in it because Karunaratne got injured. And actually, there's a lot of people who don't feel he should be given the opportunities because he's played best part of 40 tests. He's got an average in the low 20s, I believe. But in terms of that innings for Joe Root, you know, we talked yesterday about how adept he is against spin. But let's talk about him coming into this match. You're talking about the work he's done. We kind of I made mention of it yesterday, but how much does it take out of you? I mean, you've worked under a lot of test captains. How much does it take out of you? England playing 17 tests this year. They must have played the best part of 12 or 13 last year. Joe Root would have been captain for all of them. He played didn't play much one-day cricket because it was separate teams. But, you know, he's travelling around. How much does it take out of you? And how much do you think that innings is just symptomatic, or just points to the fact that he came into this test match after having a bit of a break?
Yeah, he's had the longest break, arguably the longest break he's had in a long time, leading into a test match series where he's got time to prepare. Gone are the days of, I think, of the likes of Gooch and Atherton and Stewart and possibly to a lesser extent Hussain at the start of their career, where the captain was the guy who helped choose hotels, help choose training facilities, make sure kits sorted, everything like that. Gone are the days of that. He doesn't have anything like that to worry about now, Joe. I think he's off the field. England have got more support staff than they have got players on some tours. So I think from that point of view, he's helped out. He'll still have in the back of his mind the idea and selections and idea of what people are doing and how people are playing and how each brand of cricket his team wants to play. And the finer points of, well, we get the squad from 16 down to 12 and who misses out. And I've got to have a conversation with the players that aren't playing, because potentially in two test matches' time, I've got to disappoint somebody now, but I will need them on my side to come and really help. So that he'll have all that in his mind when it comes to on tour and in the bubble of the test match series. But before the test match series, he's had a lot of time just to work on things. And he says he's worked by himself on a different trigger, you know, a better trigger, which gives him more balance at the crease and more balance at the point of release for when the bowler's releasing the ball. He's in a good position I talked two days ago about his ability to transfer weight of going right the way forward and all the way back to use the depth of his crease to manipulate the strike, get ones, but also get the fielder in position so he can really then, when he needs to hit the four shot or the big shot, then he's in a good position to do so. So that will give him confidence on how what he's worked on to now get in the fruition of a double 100 under his belt. So he now has to really move forward into thinking, well, this is Sri Lanka. You know, what do I need to do to take it on the next level when I go to India? Because, you know, your trigger movement is only as good as the bowlers that you're playing against. All of a sudden, if that trigger movement is very, very good, you know, we're talking about subcontinent and bowling spin, he's then got to go away and think of what it's going to be like in England when the ball's moving sideways as opposed to not bouncing at all. And then when it's, when, you know, when the quicker bowlers or the better bowlers are bowling at him. So all that will be, you know, will come into his thought process on his practice. But I think the huge amount of confidence he's going to give himself after he's had his ice bath, when he's having his tea tonight, he's got his first innings out of the way and thinking, right, the training I did and mental preparation I did and the time I've had off to rejuvenate Joe Root before this test series is something that has been so invaluable taking me forward. And it's something that is going to have to happen, you know, more often than not when it comes to, you know, when the times are struggling again.
And what about Sri Lanka? Because watching them back today, I was thinking, how is this not a draw? You know, they certainly shouldn't have lost it. And they may still draw it. You just don't know. They've got players who have performed heroic deeds in the past, and they may well go on to do so on day four, maybe a bit of rain on day five as well. But from a bowling perspective, I was surprised yesterday that Fernando didn't bowl more. England looked so comfortable against spin on occasion. And he came back and bowled two absolute beauts to dismiss Jos Buttler and Sam Curran. Then when they came out to bat, they were the visiting team. You know, it takes a while for teams to acclimatise. It's almost like they were the visiting teams and now they've kind of got to grips with conditions that they should have been absolutely familiar with. And actually, at the end of day three, there is a chance they could go on to save this test match. It would still take a big effort, but they were scoring runs at good rate. Neither Leach nor Bess were offering the control that Root would have wanted. Broad and Curran and Wood bowled gamely. I do understand why Sam Curran has taken the new ball, but I wouldn't mind seeing Mark Wood thrown it in that second innings. I know Curran got the wicket, but a disjointed looking England side. Sri Lanka showed today that they do still have what would be outside hope of saving this test match. And you can see why.
Yeah, it couldn't get any worse for them than what they had in the first innings. I think a lot more thought process. I thought they rotated the strike better. England only bowled one or two maidens in that period of that middle section period. I think when you look down at the figures, but 33 overs between the two spinners in Bess and Leach, and there's only four maidens in there. And that tells you a lot about how well Sri Lanka have rotated the strike and put the pressure back on the bowlers, because they didn't do that in the first innings. Their outshot in that first innings was if they got a ball that was, instead of, you know, working it in the leg side for one or hitting it through extra cover or dropping their hands and trying to get it past the infield for one, it seemed to be crash bang wallop. It looked as though they were trying to play, you know, a one day format of the game. And the bad balls when you're in that, sometimes if you look at someone like Adil Rashid, for instance, playing one day cricket, a lot of the wickets he's getting in one day national cricket in recent times are from bad balls. And I think some of the bad balls that were bowled in that first innings ended up in wickets, especially for Don Bess. So I think they learnt from that first innings. I don't think they could have played any better. Grant Flower's been, you know, scathing with his analytic view of what happened, and as the batting coach of Sri Lanka, said it was the worst performance he'd ever seen by a test team. So I think on that aspect, they had to come out and play a bit better. The defence was a lot more solid. They moved the ball, rotated the strike well, and all of a sudden, if you watched England's fielding then got a little bit more sort of deeper and deeper, as opposed to the men round the bat. Because when you get men round the bat, you can put real pressure on the batsman, and then the batsman decide, well, the outshot's the big shot. Well, when they did that in the first innings, they got out. So I think they've learned a hell of a lot. And you know, I don't think England bowl as consistently as what they would like to have. But like I said before, it's not a bad thing that this is going to go into another day and another day. I thought the telling point, the changing point on it was when they changed the ball. They got the ball changed. And when you change, the reason why as a bowler, and speaking from experience, you want to change a cricket ball is because if the ball goes out of shape, it's not because of that the shape's gone that you want the ball changed. The ball's going out of shape because it's gone soft. And if it goes soft, there's just nothing happening, especially in this sort of subcontinent wickets. So I think that gave Leach a little bit more purchase and bounce when he actually got this different ball. And there was an element of reverse swing that we hadn't seen because the new ball had come from a briefcase box, which was dry. And, you know, the ball that would be bowled, England had bowled with for 30 odd overs was a damp ball. It was a wet ball because of all the rain that was going around. So it was a little bit an element of reverse swing and the little doubt that you put in the batsman's mind. All of a sudden, there's indifferent foot movement. And with indifferent foot movement, you get a little bit of indifferent batting. And Jack Leach got the batsman, he got Mendes just to hang on the crease a little bit. And the ball bounced, got the edge, and it was a good catch by Butler.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moment of the day.
Moment of the day for me, Harmy, was the scene that greeted Kusal Mendes as he walked to the crease. Because, you know, cricket is about the stories within the story, isn't it? And it was a nice touch. He'd been peppered at short leg by Joe Root the day before. Joe Root gave him a bit of a fist bump. Not just because of that, but also because Mendes was walking to the crease with Audi as his nickname. Four ducks in a row in Test cricket. He wasn't going to become the Olympian, was he? But it was really nervy for a while. All the fielders were in. He picked out the fielder on three occasions and then finally got off the mark. And I remember as a kid, one of my favourite moments watching England was Pat Pocock raising his bat when he managed to get a run against that great West Indies side. And Alan Lamb was at the other end. He was 96 not out. And there's Pat Pocock taking the applause. As a kid, that was just classic. No crowd there today, of course. And Kusal Mendes is a batsman, so he's not really going to do that. But you couldn't help but feel pleased for the guy just to get that single.
Absolutely. You don't want to see... It's horrible when you see somebody who is having a real, real struggle. Being there many times as a player, speaking from experience, you just think, well, you know, everything that possibly can go wrong is going wrong. So to get off the mark the way he did, and there was a little wry smile when I think Johnny Best, I was at short leg, just mentioned to him, I think he probably said to him, well, you're still out, you know, you're not quite Olympic, but Audi's good enough for us, sort of thing. So there'll be a lot of gamesmanship, a lot of chat in there. But I know my moment of the day, and we've talked in Waxed Lyrical about how good a player he is and what a world-class star he is. If England have any chance of beating India, Australia, they need their captain, and their captain got a double 100. And when you talk about players in the world game, you talk about class. You know, Joe Root for me is that. He is class. And for somebody who didn't score 100 in 2020, who gets a lot of stick for getting 50s but not 100s, You want your captain to go and lead by example. He got 200, the raising of the bat. He carried his bat all the way through to the last man out. So for me, my moment of the day is England captain getting the double century.
Lol of the day.
Well, my laugh out loud moment of the day was when Pereira got hit on the hand by Mark Wood. The physio comes out, takes his glove off, and he's shaking his glove like you'd not believe. And then he strapped his hand. It was like a cast on his hand. And they were like, wow, what is going on here? He's not going to be able to get his glove on here. I was thinking, are they trying to buy time? And I actually thought it might have been good gamesmanship by the batsman, trying to buy time. And then as he was trying to like wrestle with his hand to get his glove on, he faced about two balls, waved to the physio. And I thought, this is the typical footballer that gets his ankle strapped and he can't feel his foot. He's got to take the strap off. That physio comes back on and he actually puts more tape on to the hand, which has just been belted. So I actually thought he was going to take his glove off and just bat with bare fingers with the tape on his hand because he couldn't get his glove on. So I thought that was quite a funny moment for anybody that's tried to put a pair of gloves on. You want as much movement as you possibly can. But I thought Pereira decided that he was going to have less movement because his hand was smartened. So I think there was also a physio who has never played cricket before.
Well, OJ Simpson, he's got a new nickname, hasn't he? Couldn't get the glove.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
So what's going to happen on day four, Harmy? I'm praying for 8 wickets in an England win, as I mentioned at the start of the show. But Sri Lanka show today, you know, they've still got, 25 overs until the new ball. So if they can survive that, maybe just losing the night watchman. Tiramani goes past 100. Got Chandimal. He doesn't bat particularly quickly. Matthews, vast experience there, of course. You know, Sri Lanka could add 100 to that, losing just a one or the two. Suddenly, not only have they taken time out of the game, it'll be England who will be getting a little bit nervy.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think England would get nervy if you got to 25 overs before the new ball and 15 overs after the new ball. So you're looking at 40 overs into the piece. If Chandimal and Matthews, for instance, are still there, or even one of them not even in yet, and all of a sudden I think England then will be looking at it and thinking, right, we might have to chase 200, 220 here on a turn and pitch, which, you know, that'll not sit well with England. So I still think in this game, that's gone, 135 all out. England got 421. You know, even though Sri Lanka are 156 for two, I still think one brings two brings a collapse. And I still think, you know, on this sort of service, you know, the class batsmen are shown in route. Really, I think you've only really got Matthews. I don't put Chandimal in that category. I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I think he could score hundreds. But I think the danger man for England is Matthews. Not only does he bat for a long time, he bats big. So England will want to see the back of Angelo Matthews. And I think if they do that in and around the new ball time, then I think, you know, they should be able to look after the rest. Because like what we've seen with England's teal, when the ball's turning, the spin goes, you know, the teal gets wrapped up very, very quickly. So be huge new ball for England, but they've got 25 overs to really make inroads and hopefully get one of the experienced players in and out for England to have a good day tomorrow.
Brilliant stuff, Harmy. I love that. We'll chat again tomorrow to look back at exactly what has happened on day four in Gaul in the first test match between England and Sri Lanka. You're listening to the Following On podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can listen on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we'll be back after day four.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.